Welcome to the Plunge Team Podcast with your hosts, David Dinkins and Marty McFly. Hey, welcome to the Plunge Team Podcast. I'm your host, David Dinkins, and I have my partner in crime, Marty McFly. How's your day going, Marty?
It's going all right, David Dinkins. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited on this pilot podcast. Looking forward to doing a bunch more with you.
So we started this podcast, David and I mean, Marty and I like to trade cards, buy cards and trade them. He's more into trading them to collect, and I'm more into getting rookies. I'm really big on the rookies of the year. I buy for the year, either football or basketball. But Marty's really informative on how to minimize your card collecting and distributing. So he's going to go over that. But first, I want to get a little background on how you got into cards and how, like, what sparked that inner flame in you to make you want to collect cards and then keep it going until now.
Happy to talk about that. So I was around maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. I started collecting in the late 80s and early 90s. That's referred to and known as the junk wax era. So I hold a lot of sets, actually complete sets, mainly baseball from 88 all the way maybe through 94, 95. And what kind of got me into it is that traditionally, maybe on a birthday or sometimes over the weekend, my dad would take me to the card shop. And it was pretty common to buy them in complete sets at the time. Although there were like packs around, I would go out and buy packs here and there. But essentially, that's how I got into it. I got into it by family members gifting me full sets that I still have to this day. And I've kind of dropped it for a while, and now I've gotten to a point where I'm back into it today. I can go into a little bit more detail on that, but that's essentially how I got started.
So that early time frame when you started was known as what, the junk wax era, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
Well, what is that exactly?
I don't know the exact time frame or the exact years, but late 80s, early 90s, there was a big boom in with the card manufacturers. They essentially were mass printing all of these cards. So a lot of those cards that I hold that I got when I was a little kid, they're pretty much worthless. There's a card here or there that may be worth some value, but all of them were mass printed, overly printed. So a lot of those cards, like in that era, you had Michael Jordan, Ken Griffey Jr., a lot of them are really mass produced and aren't really worth much today.
Yeah, I think that with the introduction of Michael Jordan and then the popularity of basketball really got that started with basketball, with them mass printing it. I know I had a bunch of Jordans when I was growing up, and now they're basically like $2 or $3, not worth much. But I know, yeah, they had all that. And then, of course, football. But football really wasn't as big as basketball, right?
No, I didn't feel that. Like, the way I grew up, I grew up playing baseball. So I guess like baseball was really big. I feel like I had some blinders on to like basketball and football.
Okay. Yeah, I used to collect baseball, but strictly now I'm football and basketball. But I used to love baseball, and I'll collect baseball and then basketball. Not so much football, how it's kind of flipped now for me. So what are you currently collecting?
I'm currently still focused on baseball. So I went through a period of time, where I completely stopped collecting. It's probably the mid 90s. I reached a point probably where I was a little too old. I was interested in other things, and I didn't pick it up until a few years ago in 2022. What got me back into it is I have an older uncle. He graciously gifted me his whole set from the 1960s, 1950s. He mainly collected baseball also. There's some football also in there. That's what really got me started. And it also got me digging back into those old like junk wax sets and packs that I had from years ago. So I'm to a point now where I have everything kind of completely organized. I'm still on baseball, and I've turned into where I have a mindset of where I'm trying my best, and I'm on a mission to complete all the sets I have remaining.
All right. So for people that don't know, how are you locating these cards for those old sets? How are you completing them? Like, what way are you going to find those cards?
So like the sets that I'm trying to complete, I'm focused on that are priority are from the 1960s. So at exactly 1959 through 65 tops baseball. Some sets I have more complete than others. And what I'm doing, the best means of getting the cards that I'm missing is going through online trading sites. I specifically use a website called tcdb.com, and I've found it to be a really delightful trading experience. I think the site's a little difficult to use.
Is it a free site?
It is a free site. Okay. It's kind of like Wikipedia, where Wikipedia is free, but they do kind of like pull at you a little bit to add a donation here or there. The site is completely free, but it does have an option to where you can offer, let's say, $5 a month, and then they'll take the ads away. But it's a great experience for trading, and it's really the best way how I'm filling in the gaps of the cards that I'm missing that my uncle didn't get when he was a kid.
So on that website, you can trade and also sell cards?
Yeah, you can also sell. It's kind of a honor system platform. It's not as controlled as eBay. So eBay is great also, as far as like finding things. I think that's where you're going to find like the mass population where you can really find anything that you're looking for. But eBay, they also call it FeeBay. So if you're a seller out there, like eBay is essentially nickeling and diming you for every penny out of your sale. And then that really trickles down to the buyer. So like I really want to emphasize here, like in my case and collecting sets and trying to complete them, the trading is the best because I have a lot of duplicates that I can offer up. And in return, I can get back pieces of cards that I'm missing in certain sets. So I still use eBay for like the Hall of Famer cards, the cards that are harder to find. But for the commons, TCDB, 100% the way to go.
Yeah, I've used eBay and I noticed that they charge like a little under 17 or 0.17%, well, 0.17% of your sale, correct? So it's just 17% of the sale. And then anything that's over $10, they charge you 40 cents. Anything that's under $10, it's under 40 cents or 30 cents, I think. So yeah, there's a bunch of fees. So a lot of sellers like to add that to the cost of selling the card. And then, of course, the mailing you pay. So it's like so many fees that go into it. And then, of course, if you hit a certain threshold, you have to pay taxes on those. So it's like a lose-lose situation, in my opinion, if you're a frequent trader. Did you come across that at all?
Yeah, I did. I went through a period or a phase where I was interested in selling like some of my valuable cards. I regret doing that. And I'm back to a point where I'm having to go back and purchase some of those cards through eBay. I'm trying my best to purchase those cards back in better condition than I had sold them. So get cards that are of a higher grade, essentially. The cards that I mainly sold were a lot of the Hall of Famers, like Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Bob Clemente, Whitey Ford, all of those Hall of Famers I sold, and now I'm kind of buying them back. But I really got deterred away from eBay. I spent probably a little less than a year doing that. I did get a tax hit. So in the end, I felt like after selling my card, getting them graded, putting them up for sale, paying the eBay fees, paying the shipping, and then in the end, getting hit with a bill from IRS, if I really felt like I lost and I made the worst decision on selling. So in my opinion, I would discourage you from going on eBay and selling. I don't think it's a situation where you're going to win.
Yeah, that's what I'm noticing now when I'm selling cards. all the fees, of course, and then you got to get feedback, which could be a pain. You get negative feedback, it's not really good, and then you're worried about that. Listing cards, you sit and wait. People trying to lowball you, message you with lowball prices for your cards. That can be a little annoying as well.
Yeah.
Do you ever get those?
Yeah, I got all of that. And then also, like, another thing too, when you're doing the listing, it is a lot of work. You got to understand what the market is going for. A lot of sellers will have like an inflated value in their head for their card because it maybe it holds a lot of sentimental value to them. But trading cards are a lot like real estate. It's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. And eBay does do a really good job at that. So if you ever really want to get a good idea of whether it's modern or vintage, if you want to get a good idea of what they're worth, it's really good to go on eBay and look at the solds. eBay does a really good job at that. So as a seller, as you're listing your cards, you kind of have to do a little bit of that front work and homework and try to understand what your card is worth. Sellers, a lot of times, will try to reach for the stars and they'll try to put their cards out there really, really inflated. And I think it works in some cases. I think some people might not know how to go and look at recent solds, or maybe they just want it quickly. I think a lot of sellers are reaching for the stars, and in some cases they may get it, but yeah, eBay's is a crazy place, and you got to be careful, watch out, and you got to know what you're buying, and you got to do your research.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure we'll cover a podcast in the future about eBay and how to sell and how to trade and how to buy. We'll cover all that. I was going to ask you before we let you go, what sets you're currently buying right now? Is there like a specific brand you shop for? What is your forte or taste right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. So main priority is finishing those old vintage sets, but those are going to take me years. It's going to be a multi-year project. But I am interested in some of the modern cards, and I've noticed inflated prices. I feel like we're in junk wax era 2.0 right now. Currently, there's a big boom. Like everywhere you go, when you're at Walmart or Target, now you start seeing them on the shelves, and the pricing is interesting how it's set. They're extremely inflated. It's not a hobby for kids anymore. You see a lot of people like myself, of my age that are out there. You don't see too many 8 or 9, 10-year-old kids like I was when I was little, because they can't afford it. You go buy a box of, right now I bought Topps Chrome, 2024 Topps Chrome, hobby box ran me about $250. And in the end of it, once I opened it all up, I feel like it was probably, I got $25 or less worth of cards. But, I'm interested in new stuff. But I do have that mentality that it's completely gambling. I feel it is a bit of a ripoff. But I'm into Tops. I'm into the, essentially everything that's under the Fanatics. There's a shift going on. So Fanatics owns, Tops and Bowman. I'm sticking to that, and I'm sticking to baseball essentially.
Yeah. I noticed the prices, like Optic basketball, Optic football, tends to be cheaper at Target compared to buying them at Walmart. They're marked up at Walmart. I don't understand that. I don't know. It's a kind of a deal they have going on. Also Select, which is dropping this week, NFL Select, they're marked higher at Walmart than they are at Target, which is kind of weird. I don't understand that, but yeah, I try to stick to Target. I know a lot of people our age are collecting cards, and when they go and stock them, there's people waiting right behind the stocker, ready to pounce on them when they're loading them up on the shelf, which is like boggling to me that these people don't have jobs, or I don't know what they do, but they're just sitting there in the middle of the day. I guess I can be guilty of that, but I'm basically looking for those cards, and I try to not buy everything on the shelf. I kind of want to leave some for somebody else so they get that experience. But a lot of people don't seem to do that. They'll just buy up everything possible and sell it online or open the cards for themselves. Do you find that at all at where you're located? Any issues like that?
I see, I don't see people sitting around waiting, but I do every time I go into a Target or Walmart. First of all, I want to say also, I'm a little bit unlike you. I'm not big into retail. So I'd say it's more uncommon for me to go into Walmart or Target. So I'm not seeing crowds of people or people loading up on a bunch of boxes. I stick to mainly a hobby or like jumbo boxes where you get a little bit more guarantee. But on occasion, I do jump in and I'll, if I'm in Walmart and I just can't help it in a lot of cases. And I do always see somebody in the aisle. I find that interesting that there's always somebody looking. So there's a lot of traffic. And usually when I see somebody, it's somebody that looks a lot like me. And it's not, again, it's not a kid, a hobby for kids because they're priced out.
Awesome. Yeah. So we start this podcast because we want to have discussions about cards. I know we both love trading cards and buying cards, but also give a perspective because I came in like Danny, my other friend Danny, who used to collect cards. He actually got me into them and I started collecting. And then we got introduced to Marty, and Marty is basically like my go-to when I have questions on cards. But yeah. We want to give you like an experience that we're getting worse. I know I was starting from scratch and I was clueless and I had to constantly text Marty and get a lowdown on what's a good card. Cause when I first started buying the cards at the beginning of the year, I started this year again. I used to collect when I was little. I was just buying random, like NBA hoops, not knowing like what I was looking for. And I had to weed and basically figure out what I liked, and I think I have that now. But yeah, it can be costly if you do that the way I did it. But yeah, if we can just leave some kind of stepping stone for somebody else, and then also cover some topics that are trending in the news or what's going around in the community, the trading cards, I think we want to share that and give our honest opinion on certain events and what's unfolding in the card community.
Sounds good.
So,
I look forward to
yeah.
it.
So thanks for joining us on this first podcast. This is our trailer intro. And thank you guys again for listening. Until
Thanks
next
for
time.
having me.